Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Draft Team Call held on the 21st of April, 2016. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Russ Mundy, Jonathan Robinson, Lyman Chapman. Our board liaison is Erica Mann. I have listed apologies from Asha Hemrajani and Tony Harris. From staff, we have Glendy St. Jerry, Marika Konings, David Tate, Melissa King, Lauren Allison, Julie Headland, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Terry. It's Jonathan Robinson, who I'll be chairing today's meeting, and you have hopefully all seen the agenda. I'm sorry I was unable to be at the last call. I understand there's a couple of items being worked on in the interim, and so we're hoping to get some updates on that and then make some further progress. So, any comments or questions regarding the agenda before we start to work our way through it? And I note we are waiting to be joined by Sam Eisner from ICANN staff. So what I suggest we do is, because once we've done the roll call and we'll record everyone who's here, which we've done, we'll move straight on to agenda item two, which of course involves Sam. So I think I suggest we go on to item three then. And hopefully we can get an update from Erica and or Russ regarding their work that they were kindly offered to do to review the public comments and identify key elements which we should be considering as we start to develop the charter for this group. So I don't know, Erica or Russ, if either of you have had a chance to talk with one another. I believe there were some updates posted to the list, but are either of you in a position to talk through those and highlight any points you would like to make on that?
I can, or Erica can. I would be fine either way. Do you have a preference, Erica?
It sounds like Erica is struggling with audio. So, Erica, if you can hear us, just come to us in the chat for the moment while you try and set up your audio input. Okay, so Erica confirms she hears us. Well, Russ, why don't you start, and Erica can join as soon as and when her audio is in shape. So if I could invite you to start talking us through what's done and any points or issues you'd like to discuss, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, certainly, Jonathan. Thank you. And I had a similar audio problem last time, so I guess the dial-in decision this time worked better for me, but hopefully Erica will be able to vocally join us at some point. We had I guess it was about an hour and a half meeting between the two of us, and we had David Tate and Julie Headland from staff supporting, and they did a absolutely superb job of not only keeping us organized but helping us move along. And then David put out the revised listing very quickly afterwards. So one of the things that I'd like to just mention as an important overview is that many of these comments fell into the category of not being what I would describe as cleanly handleable in either the drafting team or the subsequent CCWG. And we've noted what we believe that case is for all of those in the subteam review comments in the charter, and I'm hoping that as folks do get an opportunity to read through all of these and formulate their own position, that it will at least make it easier to for others to say yes or no, I agree with that or not. But a number of the things were long lists that said, you know, the following things should be considered, and then listed 4 to 8 or 10 things. And so some of those would apply, we think, to considerations in various parts of the charter. Other things in the that would apply to the work of the CCWG itself. And the other fairly broad spread, I'll say major grouping of comments that came in, we felt needed to have some addressing by our legal, ICANN legal staff support, so that we as a drafting team understand what the legal parameters are that might be constraining handling some of those comments that came in. Otherwise, there were just a number of things that we indeed walked through. Some were we felt easily assignable to drafting team. Other were easily assignable to CCWG. But hopefully, the first cut will help others. And my hope by the first cut was that it would significantly lighten the burden of others having to read through the comments and look and see how they appeared. I'm not sure how much we were able to lighten that burden. I hope so. But I'm convinced that most all the drafting team will also at least need to read all of the comments and see if those are in agreement with the sub-team view or not. So that's really what I would describe as an overview of the comments without trying to explicitly get into the details of any of them. Hopefully that was about the granularity that you were wanting at this point, Jonathan.
Russ, thank you. That was very helpful. I'm just going to check if Erica, who is now on audio, I believe, would like to add or say anything before I give some responses or remarks or thoughts.
I know. Can you hear me now, Jonathan, and
yes.
Everybody else? Wonderful. Sorry, apologies for this. So Russ did a good summary, excellent summary of what we discussed. So I think maybe just to add and give a little bit of flavor. So there are recommendations included, which we put under the bracket of the question, shall we, the DT, have guiding principles? So what we did, we reviewed all the comments, and all of the comments which we received, we tried to find under, you know, some of the umbrellas which we think the DT should look into. So one is our guiding principles. And, for example, these are openness and transparency. Shall there be the reference to the mission statement and to core values? Shall there be accountable financial oversight measures included? Many comments raised, for example, diversity question. This could be another example which could fall under guiding principles. Many raised and mentioned that it shall be lean and effective. Again, we think this would be part of the guiding or could be part of the guiding principles. So this is one bracket which we thought. And then, as Russ said, we had some question, and I hope that Sam is on the call now, which we thought they need to be further evaluation by legal, and legal should come back to us and make recommendation. These are in many comments which we received, which relate either to legal constraints or fiduciary restraints and constraints which we do have as an organization, so that then we are clear about what we recommend and what we, you know, argue which should be part of the charter in the future. Other questions were raised as well, so I'm not going into details, but just to give you a little bit of flavor how we how we approached the work which we were asked to do.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. I'm glad you were able to join us after the initial glitch. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Apologies again.
No worries. So I think that's very helpful, but it does feel like others on the drafting team need to give their own follow-up. And as Russ said, you've probably set us off in the right direction, but it feels like we might need to do some more work there. Sorry that it doesn't seem that Sam is with us at the moment. So that's a key part of all of this, is making sure that those that you identified with needing additional legal input would be useful. Can I just check a practical point? I mean, I do notice that staff were able to help you here, and I think especially with such a small team as we've got, we might rely on some of that. I wanted to check, before going to Alan next, is this document available on a Google Docs document at this stage? Have we got it uploaded as a Google Docs document to be able to edit and comment on?
I don't know if David is on. I don't think so. He did most of the handling of the document, and at this point, the versions that I have seen are strictly in Microsoft Word. He might have one as a Google Doc. I don't believe I have seen it, though.
Yes, thanks, Russ. Marika confirms in the chat that it's not currently set up. So, Marika, can you remind me what your preference is in terms of both kind of staff support and us dealing with this, because it feels to me like we've got to take the platform that of the initial review that Russ and Erica have set up and then do something more with it. And that's contingent, of course, on either doing it by redlining or commenting back to staff and or using a Google Doc. Do you have any preference from the sort of staff point of view?
It is, from the staff side, we're happy to support either way. Just to note that, you know, the last Google Doc we set up actually didn't get a lot of input or through the Google Doc system. So I think it's really up to, you know, what the group prefers. You know, we're happy to take note of any comments you may have now on the call or that you send in by email and then redline the document. We're also happy for you to send in red lines and we can then, you know, reconcile those. And as I said, we're also happy to put it up as a Google Doc so everyone can go in there and either do it through making additions or by commenting on the document. And then, you know, again, we can take that and you know, produce a red line. It's really whatever way the group prefers to work.
Well, as we feel our way into working, let's put it up as a Google Doc so it's available for those who might prefer to work that way. And if you have a preference, it's perfectly okay to send comments or points to the mailing list and staff can then update the document. Sorry for all that preamble, Alan. If you still did want to make a point, come in. If not, I'll just pause for a moment to check, and if not, I'll go to Erica.
No, I don't know how my hand went down, but I didn't put it down. Two things. In terms of Google Docs or not, to the extent that we're still going to use a paper doc or a Word doc, can we have a version with line numbers? For someone who only wants to make a small number of comments, it's a lot easier to reference line numbers than to start editing the document and putting comments in it and things like that. It's also a lot easier for Marika to integrate them into a final document that way, I think. So I would appreciate if that could be distributed. I had a question, though. Three things. Well, the second one is, although it would be nice if we give the CCWG a nice list on a plate of things they should consider out of these comments, I think our focus needs to be at this point, what do we need to consider? And, you know, what advice has been given? And certainly a number of things were referenced that are clearly on our plate. So I think we need to start summarizing that and extracting that into a smaller document. The question I have is, since this is ICANN, I would have expected at least some people to say, whatever you do, make sure it can't be gamed. And I didn't hear that. Did that show up in any of the comments?
Marika, you may be responding to Alan's point, so come in if you are.
Yeah, this is Marika. This is just to make clear that the comments that are in this document are only those that were flagged in the initial list of comments as potentially being relevant to the drafting team when it would be developing their charter. This is not the whole array of comments that were submitted. You know, having said that, I don't remember on the top of my head whether there was a comment that was as specific as that, although I think several people did point out, you know, make sure there's no conflicts of interest, that that's addressed as part of the charter, and other comments ensure that, you know, proper process would be set up. So just to make sure that this is not the whole array of comments that were submitted, these were
okay.
just the ones that
Understood.
Were flagged as relevant for the drafting team.
Okay, well, when Russ summarized, he said some of these clearly are to be passed on to the CCWG, which is why I assume there is a combination within this group. I just find that interesting on the thing. If you look at how ICANN handled the community applications or the financial support process, it was, let's put in place so many rigid rules to make sure it can never be gamed. And of course, that also potentially eliminates good uses of it, and I was just curious if anyone had suggested that here. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to capture that. It's a really interesting balance. The principle there is set a standard such that you aim to seek to reduce gaming while not eliminate legitimate applicants for funding. But that's a challenge.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. Certainly in the past, we've overreacted to the potential of gaming, I think, to the extent that we eliminated all the good applications also. I'd like to make sure in this case we don't do that. So I was just curious if it was already on our list of things to worry about. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, let's keep that in mind as we go through. Next in the queue is Erica.
Thank you so much. 2 points. So concerning the document and how to read the document, I think the document is very well done from the staff. I think did an excellent job. And when Russ and I reviewed it, we really went from point to point. So we reviewed the complete list they put on this document. And on the very right side are the recommendations which we made. So it's very easy to read. And I think it would be good if maybe we just add another column and, you know, so that everybody who wants now to read the document and wants to send comments to it, we just have another column on the very right side where these comments could be added so that the document stays clean and it's easy readable and it becomes a process document. So it's very well done. And I reread before the call all of the comments concerning point two, the one Alan raised. So I read all the comments which we received just again. And gaming, I don't remember that I saw it. I would have seen it. So what I think Marika is right. It would fall under the rubric conflict of interest, accountability. So there are different transparency, even the different connections to the broader topic of gaming. And I think we should maybe put this in the document with a question mark and then see if, you know, we could capture the topic through these approaches, which are already sent to us and recommended to us. Because gaming in itself is an abstract, and it needs to be clarified what it really should mean in our environment. So maybe we could approach it, you know, through these already mentioned approaches, and if not, we might have to add something. This would be at least my advice.
Okay, so thanks, Erica. I just want to check what the proposal there is on the additional column. So, because at the moment we've got comments, we've got who, we've got how address, we've got DT opinion. So where would that just to be very clear, if staff haven't already captured properly.
I mean, if I would do this, I would add another rubric, a column to the very right side.
Okay, and that really offers the opportunity for drafting team members to comment prior to us distilling out the drafting team opinion, which is why you wouldn't want the comments to go into the opinion.
Correct.
correct, because then it's easier, you know, when we want to evaluate it further in the future. We have the full chain of, you know, how the documents are.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That seems to make sense. And then I guess the practical question, which you don't need to answer necessarily yourself, is do we do this offline, or do we try and walk through the document in the meeting? I'm not sure we've got time to go through the document, but I do worry that if we don't do something in the meeting, it just gets left until the next meeting. But we could give it a go and let people have an opportunity to do something on it.
I mean, just my advice, I found it very effective in working on the document with Russ. We were actually quite fast, and I found it very effective. And we did it online together in a call with Marika and the rest of the team.
Okay, well, that may be the way to go then. Let me go to Russ, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Thanks, Jonathan. I wanted to respond to Alan's question earlier about the broad whatever is done, don't let it be gamed. I did not see any comment that was explicitly of that nature, although there were, I think, several that contained what might be termed as an inference that sort of were pointed that way. And most of those, I believe we ended up in our initial review as identifying certain things that should be listed as principles or principles of operation or objectives for where the CCWG, the things they should consider. So there wasn't anything like the explicit thing that often shows up in public forum kind of comments and so forth. As far as timing and reviewing each of the comments, the first time a careful read through takes, I think, a person a bit of time, and it would be very useful for folks to individually try to carefully read all of the comments and what we suggested prior to having a discussion, but Erica's suggestion, I think, was very good in terms of trying to have a meeting, whether it's face-to-face or on the phone, where we would literally go through each one. We spent about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes actually going through the comments, I believe, and if we decide to do that and take that approach, and I personally think it would be a very good way to do it, I think we should at least have a couple hours scheduled, because if we start through them, we find some take more time than others. We don't want to short comments that would be discussed further down the list on a time availability kind of basis. So I would also support a separate meeting focused explicitly on walking through the comments, but I would also hope that people would prepare in advance, and then we could reach conclusions in that meeting on all of these. Some of them may take more time than what Erica and I gave them in our sub-team review, because where we said some of these things need to be considered by the drafting team, some need to be considered by the CCWG, those especially lengthy comments, we probably should look at each item in the comment and make an explicit decision, because some of them are not clear which group should be handling them. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Erica, is that hand of yours up again, or is that an old hand?
No, it's an old hand. Apologies. But I support Russ. Good idea.
Yeah, thanks. I saw that in the chat. So I think we've got sort of three parallel things going on at the moment. We don't know yet what input we'll get from legal staff, and that's a little unfortunate, but we will hope to get that. It does seem like there's a recommendation to go through this. It strikes me that here's what I suggest we do. that we go away as a group and we go through and do the homework that Russ suggested, which is run through your work and look for where we really, the most important is if we disagree with any assessment you have made, but equally we could comment on if we agree. But I guess the presumption should be we agree and we look for areas of disagreement or alternatives. Disagreement is perhaps a bit strong, but alternatives or modifications. So we go away and do that, and then we come together and review. And to the extent that there are no disagreements, we should be able to pass through those items quite quickly. Now, I understand Russ's point about giving up to 2 hours. We may need that. But that seems like a very practical way forward, if I understood it correctly. The other thing is what we need to start to do is not simply look at this in isolation, but try and link it across to where this is going to go in the charter. Because after all, the purpose of this group is to produce a charter for the working group. So we really need to think about, as going through this document, it seems that it's either agree or disagree with the input that's been made before or have something supplementary. And also, where does this fit in the charter? Where should this go in the charter? So it strikes me that putting those set of filters on might be the action for the group. So the takeaway would be review Russ and Erica's comments, agree, disagree, or supplement, and reference where you think they should go in the charter. The value to us of that will be we start to further develop the charter and develop our familiarity with the charter itself. So that strikes me as a way forward on that one. We'll come to next meetings and whether or not we can schedule a two-hour meeting next time or the following time or how we deal with that. But in the absence of you disagreeing or raising your hands, I'll assume that you are happy to work along those lines. The challenge for all of us, and I include myself in this, is taking the time out to go to look at those documents outside of a scheduled meeting. But it does seem like that could be a very valuable exercise. And thanks for your support there, Erica. So that feels like the most practical thing we can do with this document for the moment. And therefore, I suggest we move on in the absence of Sam to come back to item two. We move on to item four, which, of course, is the charter document. And you'll see, if you've had a chance to look at this, this is also nicely structured because we've got a template for the charter here. We've got the sort of draft content from the cross-community working group on such groups that's currently out for public comment. And so it gives us a very nice opportunity to start to populate this. It feels to me like the right way to do this next is for either a sub-team and or individuals to go through and start to put straw man comments in the same way as Erica and Russ did with this and to start to populate it. I don't know if anyone's got a better or alternative idea how to deal with this charter, but prior to reviewing it within the group, it seems like it does need some sort of straw man or draft content in here. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think there are probably various ways, because for any sub-team probably to start putting some drafts in here, and maybe helpful to at least have some kind of initial indication of what the group thinks. And we could consider maybe having some different email threads on these questions, or maybe use part of this call or a future call just to kind of brainstorm around some of these themes, and that may then give sufficient ammunition to whoever is willing to hold the pen to prepare some draft responses, which would then help guide the language development. And as you mentioned, what we try to do is pick relevant sections from either existing cross-community working group charters or the template that has been developed by the CWG on CWG principles as a potential starting point. And again, you know, of course, the feedback on the responses will help determine what changes, if any, need to be made to that example language to, you know, fit with what the drafting team believes should be in there.
Thanks, Marika. I mean, I'd be happy to start to do that work now. I mean, we have an hour scheduled for this call. We could easily put in 20 minutes now to just try and make some initial progress to at least get this going. And I think that could be very good use of our time. I'm just looking at the first page on the deliverables. Oh, I guess you've got the work plan there. So it strikes me that, yeah, I mean, in some ways I'd be tempted to sort of, as if I was doing this myself, I'd be looking to copy and paste and edit from your example language and populate that in. But let's try and see, and if there aren't any other suggestions, as I say, I think it's not a bad idea to just start to get a feel for some of these the group's views of these key points that will shape the charter. I guess I'm one of those people that prefers to have some language to work against rather than these blank spaces are putting me off a little bit. In some senses, that they're available down below. So, just casting my eye down this and seeing can I get any guidance? Does anyone think we could usefully work with the blank document as it is now and start to discuss those blank, filling in those blank spaces? Or would you feel better to work with having had these, in effect, pre-populated by an initial pass, which is, you know, there's a pre-pass gone on by putting the example language in, but I feel that needs to now be converted to relevant language to the group. I saw Erica's hand up, but I'll defer to Marika first and then come to you, Erica.
Sure. Yeah, this is Marika. Just a suggestion. What might be helpful is, and I know there's a lot of blank space now, but what staff can maybe provide is, you know, what is the default or what are most CWGs doing in that regard? So, for example, you know, deliverables anticipated. I think the default is that the requirement is to have an initial report and a final report. So I think the real question to the drafting team is, do you anticipate anything more for this specific effort? So maybe that's helpful in kind of framing the conversation, you know, what is status quo? So that may help the group decide, you know, are we happy with status quo or do we actually need something more or different from what is the kind of standard approach within CWGs at the moment?
So I think that's what I was grasping for. But before taking hold of that, Marika, let me go to Erica.
Jonathan, I was thinking along the line, the question you raised, shall we populate the document first or shall we start working? And I had something similar in mind, like Marika recommended, because I think we need to have we really need to have an understanding for each point and each topic, you know, how is it approached in the current CCWG proposal? Because otherwise we might depart too far away from it. I mean, we all have been part of the process. But nonetheless, it would be good to have the correct language included first. I would like this, what Marika is recommending.
Thanks, Erica. I feel like I would also appreciate that as sort of default language, and it will be much easier for me, it seems, to then push against that and say, look, that might have been appropriate for the previous CWG, but in this case, there's something quite specific or a reason why not, or why it needs to be supplemented or alternative or modified. So I agree. I would be happy with that, in essence, default language going in, taking from the examples and starting to populate those right-hand columns. And then we review that systematically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Marika talks about that in the chat then, the default approach, exactly. Are there any concerns or issues with that, Alan?
No concerns, and I certainly support it. And I'll give an interesting example. I was looking at the subjects. Number two is the CCWG expected to, as a first step, develop a work plan? I suspect this CCWG, and we may want to direct it to, that its first step is not to develop a work plan, but to decide whether its output is a specific recommendations on how to use the money, or whether it is likely to come up with a process to how to decide to use the money. In other words, put together a group of wise people who over the years will decide how to use the money or whatever it is. Now, I don't know whether they're going to be able to do that or want to do that, but I think that's their first consideration, is do they want to do that before going into the work plan, because the work plan is quite different. It comes out of that decision, if indeed they can make the decision quickly. So there will be changes, I think, from what we're normally doing, but I think it's far easier to comment on text than to start inventing it from whole cloth when we're in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Alan, and immediately as you raise something like that, it sparks off. I mean, that strikes me as being the scope of what we'd expect the CWG to cover. Personally, I'm in the camp of the latter. I'm expecting that we'll set the scope for the CWG and that it would produce a mechanism for the allocation of funds rather than to allocate the funds. I think it's about setting up in my mind the structures and processes in order to do that. But that's clearly what we have to discuss and make sure we have a common view of that in this drafting team.
Yes, certainly, it's Alan. Certainly, if we had enough money that we thought this would be going on for decades, because there's either more money coming into it, or there's so much that the investment income has value, then clearly the latter. That would be how we do it. It's not clear that we're in that mode. So I think the both options are on the table. I would think that the group has to decide moderately early which direction they're going in.
Well, a quick response to that. That's a really good point as well. And it happens, and I don't want to get too much into expressing personal opinions from the chair, but I think it's useful to workshop a couple of initial thoughts because it stimulates then other discussion. And in my mind, I think this is quite an interesting topic, and maybe it's, again, something we need in the charter to direct the CWG. It's one of the key outputs, is to decide whether or not this is a finite sum of money, or whether the group wants to look at mechanisms by which it will not be finite. Now, clearly, as we come into it, it's going to be a finite pot. It's the output from the auctions. But whether or not that could be added to in future is an interesting question. So, it would be useful to warm up our thinking on that and what needs to be covered in the charter as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
Russ, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. One thing, as I was reading through these questions and just listening to this discussion here, that struck me is that as a drafting team, we might want to have at least a short list of principles that we want to follow with respect to things that we direct or ask of or suggest of the actual CCWG itself. And one that comes to mind that we've talked about previously was that that we should, as a drafting team, not put any more constraints on the CCWG than we felt were really essential. And that may impact the answers that we actually put in a number of these. So as we go through and look at, and I like the idea of having some suggested text to start from, if we realize or one of us says that one of these ideas of not restricting, or if there's other ideas that we want to make sure we maintain, that we note those in our comments on our draft as we put the pieces together here. So, I couldn't think of another sort of drafting team principle other than that of least restriction on CCWG. But there may be some. But I just wanted to mention that I think that's something we all need to keep in mind.
Thanks, Russ. I mean, it strikes me that there's a very good point there using Alan's example. It may be that for legal or other reasons, we believe that the CWG is constrained to consider only the initial and finite sum of money. If that is the case, it would seem appropriate to put that into the charter. If it's not the case, it would seem appropriate to ensure that the CWG addresses that issue at the outset as one of its key initial questions that we could put to it. So, you know, I think it's either a constraint imposed by the charter or a requirement of the drafting team, I mean, a requirement contained in the charter to make that decision early on. Because clearly from that then follows some key points. So that's you know, helpful stimulation to the thought process from both you and Alan. Alan, did you want to come back again?
Yes, thank you. It dawned on me as you were talking a few minutes ago that one of the things we could do, I'm not necessarily proposing it, but I think we should think about it, is one of the things we could do is indeed say that, and of course anything we do has to be ratified by the chartering organization, so we're not isolated here, but the charter could say that the mandate of the group is not to dispense the money and find good uses for it, but to come up with a process by which that can be done. That is something that we could decide ahead of time. That would make the CCWG a finite group that could complete its work in a reasonable amount of time and not start haggling over who gets the money. And I suspect it's the preferred way of going forward in any case of doing it. So I think we need to consider whether we, in fact, direct the CCWG that is the path it takes. Thank you.
I don't know where I have this opinion from, but it certainly feels to me like that's what we should be doing. I can't reference that in fact. I mean, but you actually make a good rational point for why that is the case, because it would, by definition, in a sense, limits the life of the CWG, whereas the other potentially makes the CWG open-ended. Notwithstanding that sort of process or practical point, it was my understanding, or is my understanding so far, and I'm happy to be challenged on it, of course, that the job is to set up the processes and mechanics by which the money might be managed rather than to manage the money.
Yeah, Jonathan, if I have a follow-on, it scares me to think that we have a CCWG, which essentially will have, almost certainly have, open attendance from anyone who wants, be the place where people come to campaign for how to use the money. That process should be something that is done under a far more controlled environment. So I think that's an extra argument for why we might want to actually make that decision and not let the CCWG make it itself. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, good. Erica?
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the discussion very much because I think it helps the framing to concentrate on the process and the mechanics. Plus, I think it helps us as well to understand the limitations as well, because I am still to some degree concerned because we haven't gotten the answer from legal, and we will have the board is meeting in Amsterdam soon, and we will have a discussion in the audit committee with our auditors about these kind of topics, because there might be still limitations we haven't fully understood because we are working so hard and we sometimes don't have the time to focus to understand all the limitations for such kind of fund and the money, how it will be allowed to be distributed, because there might be, you know, limitations stemming from legal requirements and or audit requirements. So we will look into this, and I asked our finance team to get a good overview
and a good understanding about this as well. So I like this approach very much. So I just would love to add in our thinking to understand the limitations as well, if there are some, and if there are some which are serious and are referencing back to legal requirements, to list them as well.
So, Erica, you've helped me think of something here, and that is very useful. Is actually we phrased our initial question of this agenda number one, which was the legal constraints or issues, but actually they are probably slightly broader than that, and so I think we can put, if you'll accept it, an action back onto our board liaisons to come back to us with not only the legal, you know, with the help of ICANN Legal, not only the legal constraints that this funding might be subject to. And that's applicable law plus ICANN's constitutional documents, but also the tax and other constraints. So any constraints need to be defined, and they're not simply legal. They're legal and financial or tax-based constraints. So we need to know that, because our charter needs to constrain the work of the CWG accordingly. So that would be very helpful to understand that. So you raise a good point.
Jonathan, let me add to this quickly. That's exactly the question I raised to Xavier and to the team working on this, and I asked them already at the last audit meeting which we had to foresee this and plan exactly to answer to this question at the next audit meeting which we are going to have in May in Amsterdam. So what could be help us as well, if when you review you know, the question Ross and I raised, or any other points you have in reference to our work, if you would send this to me and to this team here, then I can send this, or Marika can do it, send it early to Xavier so that he can put this forward as well to the auditors and to anybody else he needs to send these questions to. Totally agree with you.
Okay, thanks very much. So let's go then to Alan next.
Thank you very much. I may have missed it at the beginning. Do we have a prognosis when we're going to get something from SAM? And if not, I have
Marika,
a suggestion.
Can you answer? You had, a discussion with her, or Lauren. She's still so much busy on the bylaw stuff. She just came out of the drafting. So I think we have an early draft, Marika. Is this true?
This is Marika. I haven't seen anything. I do know it's on Sam's radar screen, but I also know indeed that she's absorbed by the work on the bylaws. Lauren actually may have a further idea on where the work stands.
Lauren, feel free to come in if you would like to.
Well, regardless of the answer, it's Alan. I would like to suggest that even if we don't have a document for the next meeting, that Sam try to find 15 minutes out of her schedule and talk to us.
No, she has one. So I spoke to Lauren today, and we have an early draft. They're internally reviewing the draft. I don't know how far they are, but I'm pretty sure we will have one at the next meeting.
Okay, but I'm just asking, if perchance we don't have one, could we have someone to talk to about it? I'll give you the reason why. In her first comments, Sam said we are constrained by some very carefully drafted language in the applicant guidebook. That carefully drafted language is in two footnotes. It is in a footnote when it's described. And as I read those footnotes, there's two paragraphs. The paragraphs are in conflict with each other. And
yeah.
I think it's really good that we get some clarity. And even if we don't have the document, at least if we could have a discussion about it, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Let's hear from Lauren then and see whether she can help us out here.
Hi, this is Lauren for the record. I had spoken to Sam briefly yesterday, and I think she was intending to make this call, but they did get held up quite a bit with the bylaws work. But there was an initial draft that her and Xavier from Finance, just to your earlier point, were working on together for a discussion draft of all of the different restrictions. So I know that there is a draft that is forthcoming. So I will touch base with her after this call, or Marika can indeed, just to get an update, and I'm sure that will be circulated very soon.
Thank you.
Okay, Lauren, well, we'll rely on you then to come back to us and help with that as much as you can. That would be very useful. That feels like as much as we can do for now. So let's try and capture where we are. We've got the good work that was done in trying to review the public comments and the issues as to how they might relate to the charter that was done by Russ and Erica. The plan here is for us to go through those as members of the drafting team, seek to agree or disagree or supplement those points, and ideally flag where they might fit into the charter. In addition, staff will then go through the charter itself or the draft, the charter template, and start to assist us with, I'm trying to think of the phrasing we used here, the kind of example or default content for the charter, so that we can start to have something to test our views against. And we will go back via staff to try and ensure that we do get any legal and or other constraints that might exist for our work. And with that, we should be able to start to make good progress on the charter document itself, or at least on the on this template. It feels, therefore, that we need we were talking about having a longer meeting to work through one or more of these documents. Now, our schedule is to meet every 2 weeks, but having skipped a week and then put skipped last week and then put this in, our next scheduled meeting is for 1 hour on 28th of April next week. As it happens, that's a difficult time for me. So it can either go ahead with Alan in the chair, or we could skip to the next week and make it a 2 hour session, which may be more practical, in fact. So let me take any advice you have on that. So currently we're meeting every 2 weeks with an objective to try and have something reasonably substantial in place, I would think, by Helsinki, although that's starting to, I think that's probably doable, and that certainly feels like the objective. At the moment, just to put you in the picture, we don't have a scheduled slot in Helsinki at the ICANN Policy Forum meeting. So those are my thoughts. What do you think about skipping next week and doing a two-hour meeting the following week, or do you feel it's necessary, because we do need to balance this by getting some momentum? Any thoughts on this?
It's Alan. I support the 2 hours in 2 weeks. My gut feeling is if we have the rough draft moderately quickly, and knowing Marika, we will, I would say, and we do our homework, so we go into it having read it and already thought about it, I think we're going to come out of that meeting with something moderately close to a draft of the charter. So I strongly support that method.
Okay, and I see from Lina and Erica also support, and Russ, in fact. So that feels like where we're going. Now, a couple of things there. One of the things we'll have to decide is, and as you say, Alan, it depends partly on the quality and depth of our homework, whether our focus of that meeting, and originally that meeting was suggested to deal with the document and work that Russ and Erica have done. We could even have got so far that we are reviewing the charter template. I guess we can hold off on making that decision for the moment and just prepare ourselves for that. As the work gets done by staff to put the proposed content in or default content in the draft in the charter template, and the rest of us review the work of Russ mm-hmm. and Erica, we may find that the obvious path comes out of that.
I think it's going to go faster than we're expecting at this point. If we do a bit of homework.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope so. Before going to Lauren, one other point. I would like to say that I don't believe, I just quickly checked my diary, and there didn't seem to be something in there, so I'm not sure if diary invites. So if staff could make a note of that, please put to calendar the next appointment if they aren't already in there. I've got one for the 12th. I was looking for the 5th. Because 2 weeks from now, I was expecting one to be in the 5th. Maybe someone can help orient me. And when I was seeing my diary, it's in the 12th now at 2100 UTC. I guess it's 12th and 26th are the next ones.
No, we wouldn't be talking about the maybe the 4th of May?
A 5th of May.
Or the 5th? The 5th
yeah.
is difficult, isn't it?
The 5th is 2 weeks.
Why is it difficult?
Yep. Isn't this a holiday in some country? For me, it's fine, but I know that some colleagues might have difficulties. I don't know where it would be a holiday. Ascension Day, so it could be a holiday in some countries.
Yeah, I believe it's only a holiday in some of the European countries, but looking at the list of members, I think... Erica, you're probably the only one directly affected.
No, no,
I don't think in the UK.
I'm working, so for me it's fine.
Well, look, that could be really good then. We meet in 2 weeks' time on the 5th, and then a week later on the 12th even. That might give us some real momentum. I happen to have some difficulties with the 19th. So let's go ahead with leave the 12th as scheduled, meet in 2 weeks' time as proposed, and then see where we go with those two.
Yeah, I like this.
Yes, 2 hours on the 5th of May. Correct, Veruca. So we just need a time for that now. Now, nominally, it should alternate from this time. It should be probably a 2100 UTC, which is not the happiest time for those of us in Europe, but it does accommodate better Asia and US. So... I guess that's the alternative time we agreed. We agreed to swap between the two, although it turns out that the 12th is scheduled for the 2100. So I guess the one option we could do is stick with the 2100 on the 12th and bring in another 1400 now on the 5th. The only one is
yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that on the 12th, it was actually indeed put on at the 2000 UTC, as otherwise it would conflict to with the council meeting. So if there is a time that you want to change to provide alternation, it would need to be on the 5th, as otherwise there would be a conflict if you move the 12th call to the other time.
All right. I know Ash is not going to be very happy about this. Is anyone else on this call not happy with the 1400 on the 5th, followed by the 2100 on the 12th?
Little bit early for those on the west coast of the U.S., but only a little bit. Seven a.m., which is not an unreasonable start for meetings, given the time some of our meetings start.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go with that, and then we'll continue to alternate thereafter. So it fits with the alternation, and there isn't an easy way to change the. There is a reason not to change the 12th. So let's go with 1400 on the 5th. 2100 on the 12th and continue to alternate thereafter. The 19th of May is a question mark for me, and we'll make that decision a little bit further along.
Jonathan, this is Marika. Just to confirm, we're currently rotating on 1300 UTC. You're
I'm
suggesting
sorry.
To change it to 14, or you
no,
want
no,
to 13?
No, it's my error. I'm just making it.
Okay.
1400 my time. I'm sorry. It's my
okay.
error.
Okay. So 1300. Okay. We know that.
Apologies. Yeah. Okay. Let's call it a day at that stage. Thank you very much, everyone. I feel that was productive, and we have a plan also to continue with getting a bit of momentum behind us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, all. Thanks, Alice.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.